It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Up ahead, it is the former mayor of Oak Creek who was elected months before a mass shooting at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. Join in with your reflections on the 10th anniversary of this tragedy in our state, 800-642-1234. First, it's Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about a friendly debate between two beloved Wisconsin desserts.
We recently received an audience question through WPR's Wisconsin Project about two iconic Wisconsin pastries, the cream puff and the kringle. WPR's Tim Peterson was up to the task of getting to the bottom, or at least the delicious sugary middle, of what separates them.
Marissa Wojcik of Madison grew up in the Eau Claire area, regularly consuming kringle at family gatherings. Her experience with cream puff, on the other hand, is limited. Just one puff. And it did not blow her away, which prompted her to ask us,
why do cream puffs get all the attention when the kringle is the official state pastry of Wisconsin?
Well, certainly cream puffs have been a signature dessert of the Wisconsin State Fair since 1924.
Paula Hare is Director of Marketing and Media Relations for Original Cream Puffs. That's the pop-up bakery from the Wisconsin Bakers Association responsible for making and serving cream puffs for that annual 11-day run.
It is certainly the most popular and longest-running food item at the state fair. I mean, picture in your mind, you know, all of the sights and sounds of the fair and the giant Ferris wheel lights, and having your first cream puff is certainly an experience just like going to the fair. Our cream puffs are made from Wisconsin dairy-rich cream and also a very wonderful puff pastry, and biting into them is just like a little piece of heaven.
But some people push back on our very serious kringle versus cream puff premise.
Well, cream puffs are delightful. This is the most friendly debate ever.
Shauna Seaver, author of the cookbook Midwest Made, Big Bold Baking from the Heartland. She also had thoughts on the cream puff.
It's that nostalgic feel of the state fair, and it's something special that you're not going to have all the time. I mean, and it's something that's like towering and beautiful and delightful and a little over the top, and I think definitely has a place.
Now, for the official state pastry, so anointed by the legislature in 2013, here's Seaver again.
Well, Kringle came to Wisconsin in the late 1800s when there was a huge boom of immigrants from all over Europe in particular, and Wisconsin took a lot of them in, and it became a sort of landing place for a lot of very baking-centric countries, lucky for Wisconsin. And the kringle was an invention from Denmark, originally actually started out in a sort of pretzel shape, and you still find them in Denmark baked in that way. And then, like so many other baked goods, sort of evolve as they land in their new home. And like any innovative group of immigrants, they sort of tweaked the kringle a little bit for local tastes, and it's been around ever since.
We wanted to dig a little deeper, get under the crust of what separates these two. Seaver gives us a quick lesson, starting with the cream puff.
In terms of the technique, choux pastry comes together rather quickly, and you can bake it, you know, straight out of the mixer. And then you can dollop your puffs, and then they're baked off. And then when you're talking about kringle, it's actually based on a Danish pastry, which is kind of similar to a French puff pastry, but there's the addition of yeast, which gives it a little more rise and, of course, that delicious flavor. But it's a laminated dough, which essentially means that you're going to incorporate the butter by rolling and folding the dough several times. So it can be a couple-day process to make yourself a good kringle, which I think is something that a lot of us take for granted because it's something easy to sort of grab and have, you know, for coffee breaks. But they really are very well-crafted, time-consuming pastry.
And like the cream puff, kringle has a special yet different place in our hearts.
WPR's Tim Peterson brought us that story about two beloved Wisconsin pastries. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
You're with us for a special edition of The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Today is a day of reflection, a day of awareness on this 10th anniversary of the Sikh temple mass shooting in Oak Creek, when a white supremacist opened fire in the Gurdwara, the sacred place for assembly and worship. Six members were killed. A seventh victim died from injuries in 2020. Join in on how you think back to this hate crime, 800-642-1234. Steve Scavidi is former mayor of Oak Creek. He wrote a book in 2015 about how the community responded to this tragedy. Steve, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You were elected mayor in April of that year, of 2012. A few months later, this mass shooting atrocity happens. What is coming up for you today on this 10th anniversary?
Well, it's obviously a day of thinking back. I mean, one, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years, but I got the chance to spend some time last night with many of the members of the temple as they gather this weekend for a series of events. And it was really obviously reflecting on what happened, but I think the mood and the spirit of the Sikh community, at least the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in Oak Creek, is that we are looking forward. We obviously have a problem in this country with mass shootings and hate crimes directed at people who pray differently, look differently. So they are committed to making their story part of the answer to maybe stopping some of these incidents from happening. So I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful along with the members of the community.
How have you changed over these 10 years?
Somebody asked me this question last week in an interview. I think it's from California. The obvious one is I have gray hair now. I didn't have gray hair then. Hmm. But the change for me has been kind of an understanding that we have to work harder in this area. And when I was, you mentioned the fact that I was newly elected back then. My knowledge of any of this, my knowledge of the Sikh community was very minimal, not very much. And I learned a lot about the Sikh religion, fifth largest in the world. I learned about the compassion and the spirit of optimism that they have. And I learned a lot just about myself, that I could deal with these things and try to be part of the answer, as all of us can, just to try to work forward on these things. And I've spoken around the country. I've obviously, I do my radio show, trying to bring this message of optimism and hope, and at least looking at each other in a more compassionate way. And I think that's the main message for me is we have a lot of problems that we have to deal with, but we also have to understand that the answer to the problem isn't politics. It's actually each one of us.
Is the Oak Creek community closer today? What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was overjoyed to see even on this, this 10-year anniversary, I was overjoyed to see how members of the community were in such high spirits last night. And for many of them, they don't often see each other. Some of the people came from different gurdwaras around the country, and they got together last night and they will all weekend. It was that sense of camaraderie and shared story that I think was so inspiring even back then. One of the reasons Oak Creek was seen as sort of the template for how you react is because of the great work that the members of the community did with all of us, city leadership, members of our faith community across the city of all faiths, our regular citizens, regular folks. They were part of that answer. And I think that's the biggest thing for anyone that deals with something like this. You have to understand everyone has to be involved. And that was the part that worked for us.
Right, because, the research tells us that the long-term outcomes for survivors of mass shootings are improved with the help of strong communities, help of community connections, and continued access to mental health support. Can you describe those community connections you see at work in Oak Creek?
Well, one of the things that happened pretty early on is we were able to cobble together a lot of different resources, and some of those were mental health, some are the governmental, all the way up to the White House, to give us the resources to help people. And we had a lot of face-to-face, and I've talked about this before. Every day for probably the first two or three weeks, a group of about 20 or 30 people, temple members, law enforcement, city leadership, community members, other faith leaders in the city, got together and talked through things so we understood each other. There was no misconceptions, no misunderstandings. And one of the answers for survivors and members of faith communities, obviously we had our shooting, Tree of Life Synagogue. I saw a short film about that last night in Pittsburgh. They're dealing with the aftermath of their shooting. We have to understand that resources must be devoted. And when I hear politicians talk about this, they often say mental health. But what has to follow that conversation is the funds for mental health. We're starting to see that, but we need a lot more. And I think that piece of it is one of the big, I think, areas where we can really make a difference.
Steve Scafidi with us, former mayor of Oak Creek, now host of a radio show on WTMJ. Join in on what comes up for you about the Sikh Temple massacre 10 years ago, about mitigating hate crimes in houses of worship, on what your community has done to build trust and understanding. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show with a focus on reflection, with a focus on awareness. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's 10 years to the day after the Sikh Temple mass shooting in Oak Creek. The governor ordered flags to be flown at half staff today to remember and honor the 7 victims who lost their lives to a gunman, an avowed white supremacist. Join in on where you've seen change, where you've seen resilience, breakthroughs in your community to build understanding, less hate. 800-642-1234. Steve Scafidi was mayor of Oak Creek from 2012 to 2017, wrote about his experiences with this tragedy in a book published a few years after, and he stays with us. Steve, I understand the mayor of Aurora, Colorado, called you on that evening of August 5th, 2012. What was that conversation like?
It was surprising because obviously a very long day, and I'm back at City Hall, and I had just talked, actually, it was amazing. Another amazing story was the President of the United States called and did what presidents do. They offered their all the help of the U.S. government. But as I sat in my office, one of the people that worked at City Hall said, we've got a call from Steve Hogan. He's the mayor of Aurora, Colorado, and I had never met him before. And he had reached out on his own. Now, if you remember the 2012 year, the Aurora shooting was a couple of weeks before our shooting, followed up, of course, by Sandy Hook later in the year. Mm. He on his own initiative, he called me, and all he wanted to do was offer advice. And it was simple advice. He said, we have just gone through this. And he basically said this: reassure your community. Speak to what you know. You're not a law enforcement professional, so don't venture into that area. Just be confident in what you know, the facts as you know them, and reassure your community. And those simple words of somebody who had reached out to me on his own, found out where I was, and that probably 10-minute conversation was a big source of my inspiration for how I dealt with this tragedy in the weeks ahead. And he has since passed. He died from cancer a couple of years ago. But I got a chance to meet him a couple times at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And another interesting story, many of us who have gone through this, Jonathan Rothschild, who was the mayor for the Gabby Giffords shooting, Ron Rordam from Blacksburg, Virginia, which was a Virginia Tech shooting, we actually sat down for lunch together and kind of talked through some of this stuff. So the inspiration and leadership of other mayors who had gone through this helped me on my way to kind of deal with this as a very young mayor, as I said, only like 4 months on the job when this happened. So it was extremely helpful.
I would imagine, because mayors and the police chiefs, they're always the ones who are in front of the cameras, up at the podium, behind all those microphones, trying to find the right words, trying to be, as you said, clear about what had happened. And I imagine in that kind of crisis distress, you're not resting. What is that experience like in those hours and days about your role as an elected leader?
It's not easy, and I know that there's handbooks now. I participated in some of those projects to kind of help mayors work through this, but there wasn't a handbook at the time that I went through it in 2012. It's very stressful. I had the support of my wife and my family. That was very helpful. You don't get much sleep. You drink a lot of coffee. I think in the first 2 weeks, we did something like 150 different interviews from international to national to local. radio and TV. It's extremely fast paced and hectic. But when we did speak, and I had the benefit of working with a police chief that I had grown up with, we lived in the same community, we knew each other for a long time. That ease of relationship, that comfortability with each other, helped us be really clear and concise whenever we spoke to the media. We were consistent on message. When leaders get in trouble, police chiefs or otherwise, is when they are not clear, when they are not concise, and they kind of go off script. That's the worst thing you can do. It's if you stick to the facts as you know them and calm and reassure your community, that goes a long way in kind of moving things forward, which is my new mantra, basically. We have to think forward, not backwards.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the role of a mayor after a mass tragedy like the 2012 shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. Steve Scafidi, former mayor of Oak Creek, wrote a book in 2015 about how the community responded to the tragedy. Still time to talk for you, 800-642-1234. Steve, you're doing a roundtable of guests who will talk today about the impact of the Sikh temple shooting. How do you want to focus this type of conversation? What will that be like?
So I'm spending the entire 3 hours of my program today with the principal people involved that day from law enforcement. We have James Santel. He was the U.S. attorney for Southeastern Wisconsin on that day and for the weeks and months ahead. We will set up the information for people that, you know, because 10 years is a long time and people forget the details. So we'll set it up for my 10 o'clock hour, which is two people that were directly impacted. One, Pardeep Kaleka, whose father, Satwant Kaleka, was killed he was the temple president, mm-hmm. was killed on that day. And then after that is Lieutenant Brian Murphy, who was the first responding police officer, shot more than a dozen times. Even he says he probably should have been killed, but because of his incredible training and experience, he realized that he could save his own life and slowed his breathing while he was bleeding out. And it's a tremendous story. So that part is to look at those stories and to tap into the positiveness of both Pardeep and Brian, given all that happened that day and how they've reacted since, talking about this with community groups across the country in their own unique ways, to kind of shape this conversation. The key word, and you know this as a broadcaster, is always communication, talking these things through so people understand each other. And I always say this whenever I give a presentation on the shooting or my role in it, is it's hard to hate somebody that you've had a conversation with. Hmm. It's easier to hate somebody you don't know, right? It's just somebody that you see. But once you've established that link, it's much harder to hate somebody. And that's what Brian, that's what Pardeep, myself, others try to do is tell the story and tell it in a positive way, even when a tragedy is involved. And I think that's the key part, because communication was the beginning of the answer for our community.
Houses of worship, though, are havens, right? They're meant to be places of shelter, peace, where strangers are welcome. And now you see faith leaders all over the country really having to evaluate what their security is like and how open they can really be. What approach have you seen the Sikh temple take in this area?
One of the understandings and the realities of post-August 5th, 2012 is that places of worship, because I brought in all the faith leaders from our community, which at the time I think was 25 or 26, understanding that as much as they want to have open doors, right, that's always what faith is about. Welcome to our place of worship. Welcome to our faith. The reality is they have to be aware of what's going on, and security is part of that. Always have your eyes open. Be aware of what's happening on social media. Be aware a connection to law enforcement, which didn't exist prior. That is something that many places of worship now tap into. They communicate with law enforcement. If you're a good police chief, you are visiting these places of worship in your city. That's how you establish those relationships. And that understanding, that connection, I think goes a long way in at least making the members of these places of worship feel safer. Nothing's perfect, but I think that's the beginnings of, in a lot of different venues, not just places of worship, is the security piece. And that is the reality that has changed since our shooting and many others.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you taking the time, Kate.
Steve Scafidi is former mayor of Oak Creek. Ahead this hour, we speak with a geographer who studies public memorials after mass tragedies. How do you commemorate victims and horrific events? Join in 800-642-1234. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.